Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Shir for Women Shir number 56. Today we're going to go through a very important essay in the book Reclaiming Dignity. The title of it is called Understanding Busha, Negative and Positive Shame. This is one of the most important concepts that needs to be explored and needs to be understood and needs to be internalized. Because what happens is that in our liberal Western world, they don't approve of the concept of shame whatsoever. Certainly not in the context of sexuality. In their view, if you're quote-unquote ashamed of your own sexuality, you are labeled as not being in touch with your own body. When someone feels no embarrassment when confronted with exposed sexuality, that's considered healthy. And therefore, in our culture, and it seeped into our from culture too, women who choose to dress in a modern manner, they choose to dress more tsanua, they're likely to attract criticism. Why are you embarrassed of your body? Do you think sexuality is something negative they'll ask them? In reality, it's nothing of the kind. The son of Shimon Gershon Rosenberg, he was known as Rav Shagar, a very important thinker in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote an important essay called Modesty and Shame. And in the view of the one who wrote this article, it's a groundbreaking article. And it is groundbreaking. It is something that is common sense, but so powerfully attributable to what's going on now. And for everyone, it's mamash negeya. And this is what he says. So I'm going to first read the English translation. In our circles, we do not often talk about the body. We are too embarrassed. In many cases, modesty has become a veil which only alienates, a stifling mask which raises barriers between one person and another, even between a person and themselves, due to the inability to achieve intimacy with their own body. Shame can often deteriorate and become a childish, immature, even infantile phenomenon, which is unable to come to terms with itself in a broader sense. When shame encounters itself, it becomes confused and seeks to melt away and self-negate. What he's describing here, this phenomenon, is negative shame. It's the wrong construct that the laws of tznius emerge from a place of puritanism. This negative shame coming from the inability to accept the body and sexuality, since sexuality of the physical is perceived as something negative, that needs to be disguised and needs to be covered. That is a problem. And the question he asks, which is a very good question, must the concept of shame be purely negative and always puritanical, the way it's described, like we just described it? See, the Torah does preach modesty. It emphasizes hiddenness. It emphasizes introversion. While the Greek culture, which accepts the body, never recoils from it, never conceals it, whether it's in art or in sports or in other fields, is totally different. So Greek culture or Western culture or liberal Western culture is accepting the body with such a self-acceptance that you expose your body to all. And therefore, that type of culture sees the laws of modesty as an attempt to negate one's body, that you're at war with one's body. And the question we ask ourselves, what is the Torah Hashkafa? Is a Jew indeed trying to escape from his own body? You know, it could be misleading because when you read certain literature, the Nesham is holy and the Guf has a lot of these lusts and it's animalistic and those two extremes and it needs to be crushed. It needs to be like a horse and whipped and into submission. You know, it could be misleading to get to that point, but the truth is, it's not like that, but there is a healthy shame that has value. There is a healthy shame that does have value. One of the qualities of a Jew is bishanim, to have shame. That type of shame that you should have fear upon your faces so that you should not sin. It's a good sign to experience a certain degree of shame, because if someone has that healthy type of shame, they will not be quick to sin. And it says whoever does not have that midah means that their forefathers did not stand by Har Sinai. The word Bereishis, the first word of the Torah, the Tikkuni Zohar says, one of the combinations of it is Yirei Boishes, the awe of shame. It's the beginning of all things. It's Yirei La. It's the high manifestation of love. So here's the question. What is this good value of shame? And the answer is that there is negative shame and there is positive shame. Negative shame is shame that revolves around something negative within us. If we have a bad trait, if we have unseemly quality, if you discover you have a tendency to steal or to lie, then you're ashamed of it. That's actually good. It's good to feel ashamed because it's that self-awareness that will allow you to change. This is not good. I need to change. Negative shame is not called because it's intrinsically bad, but it revolves around something negative within us. Now, in contrast to negative traits, like a tendency to steal or to lie, right? So that's a negative shame that comes from a person's attitude towards their body. But the Western culture goes overboard with this. There's no reason to feel any shame whatsoever. When someone's ashamed of their naked body, a Western world would say, oh, it's because you don't accept your body, or you don't believe your body's beautiful enough, or you believe sexuality is negative. So let go of the shame and accept yourself with love. But there's also positive shame. Not because you are shameful because there's something negative inside of you, but because it's something positive. It's not coming from a shame because there's something bad or unattractive in us, but there's another reason for it. So to clarify what positive shame is, he quotes a Viktor Frankl, who talked about meaning and logotherapy, and he explains like this, that we are confronted with a fact that will come quite important, that people are ashamed of their religiousness and try to conceal it. It doesn't mean that you're removing your yarmulke because you don't want to see that you're Jewish. It doesn't mean necessarily that. But rather the phenomenon about what characterizes that you're embarrassed on the very thought that your religious experience is observed by others. But shame is a perfectly normal midah. It also is a protective function in love. It prevents something from becoming a mere object for onlookers. So the cause of love is served not by being observed. Love flees publicness. For a man is afraid that what is sacred to him may be profaned by becoming public. So in other words, as a result of public exposure, love is liable to dwindle, and just being observed and removed from what it really is. That is where this healthy shame comes from. I want to preserve the privacy of love in its right place. Genuine religiousness hides from the public, not because it's shameful inherently, but because it's meant to be private. So an example of this, he gives an example. Let's say you're in shul, Shabbos morning. All of a sudden, middle of the service, yeah, one of the women in the Ezras Nashim stands up, closes her eyes, and claps and shouts, Father, Father, I love you. I'm crazy in love with you. So you feel a little embarrassment. That embarrassment is not negative shame. Now, is there anything negative in this woman's love of Hashem? No. It may even be a good thing. But you still feel a certain shame. What's that shame? It's a positive shame. All it really is if you have a certain discomfort when this lady's expressing herself this way, it's coming from not because she doesn't love Hashem and it wasn't L'shem Shemayim or there's something really wrong here in that way. It's just that that type of emotion and feeling is normally supposed to be internal, and here it's being revealed outwardly in public. Let's say this woman who did this and scream out loud, and I love you, Hashem, I'm crazy about you, and goes on for 5 minutes in a shul where there's 100 people listening. Let's say she didn't do it there, and she did it on her own in a secluded forest, like in a hisbaydidus. Would that still embarrass you if you overheard it in a forest? Much less you'll be embarrassed, because it's in the right context here. Certainly, if you shout these words in your own mind, would you be embarrassed? No. What's there to be embarrassed about? You're being genuine. So the reason you felt ashamed and embarrassed in the first case with that woman in the shul is not because of what the woman said, but in the public manner in which she said it, and the fact that there was an audience when there really it's a private matter that shouldn't have an audience. It's similar when you're at a bus stop and there's 10 people there, and all of a sudden one of them starts telling you real personal matters, and you don't know her from Adam. You don't know her at all. The story may not be negative, but you'll still feel a little embarrassment. I love this, and I love this, and how much I care about this and that. There's still a certain discomfort there because it's a private matter. Why are you sharing it in front of an audience of strangers? Another story that happened to a friend of the one who wrote this article. When this woman was a young woman, she was hurrying somewhere, ran down the street. At a certain point, she noticed she no longer had a skirt on. She was left wearing just undershorts. She looked back and realized her skirt fell off 50 yards behind her. She ran immediately back for the skirt, put it on, thanked Hashem that no one had been on the street at that time to see it. Now, when she realized that she was not wearing a skirt, she felt very, very embarrassed. And she later discussed it with the author of this article. Why were you embarrassed? That embarrassment was not negative shame, meaning it's not embarrassment because she thought her body was unattractive. It's not embarrassing because she felt sexuality was a negative thing and therefore she should hide her body that way. The shame simply stemmed from the fact that what remains internal to herself was suddenly exposed outwardly. That's positive shame. There's nothing wrong with such a shame. When something that's meant to be internal is exposed outwardly and you feel embarrassment, that embarrassment is healthy because you know where it's supposed to be. It does not mean you hate your sexuality or you hate your body. In the right context, you love sexuality and you love your body. But on a street, you're supposed to be wearing a skirt. And when it falls off and you don't realize it and you're walking without one, it's not where it's supposed to be. So you're embarrassed. That embarrassment is healthy. So therefore, tznius needs to be in the form where it's a consequence of a positive shame, not a negative shame. Again, if tznius, the way it's portrayed, the way it's given over, the way it's taught, brings about a negative shame, it's destructive. If it brings about a positive shame, it's healthy. Tznius does not mean I'm hiding away misdeeds. I'm hiding away garbage. I'm hiding away ugliness. No. That's not what it is. Positive shame. Positive shame means you attach meaning to your body. My body is beautiful, but it's also sacred. Therefore, I don't want it exposed that way because it's also sacred, but it is beautiful. It's not ugly. A woman who exposes the sexuality of her body to all may be connected to her sexuality, but she's not connected to the bond that exists between sexuality and her husband, whether future husband or current husband. She does not experience sexuality of her body as something unique that she's guarding to be revealed when she meets that special one in her life. And that positive shame of sexuality binds us as one in marriage and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a lot said here about positive and negative